How are we doing, Wake? Woo. Guys, I'm excited to be here this morning. We are starting a new series this morning, We Over Me. So we're going to be talking about community and the ways that we and our small groups and those closest to us, our friends, play a big role and part in our lives. And so I'm going to start actually, and I want to take you on a journey through my middle school experience. So this is the story of Jonathan's, or some highlights from Jonathan's middle school experience, fifth through eighth grade. So I'm going to start in fifth grade. And so when I was in fifth grade, there were some things that were really, really popular. All my friends started wearing name brand clothing and these titanium necklaces, right? There were these fighting necklaces. I don't know if anybody wears them anymore, but you were only cool if you had name brand clothing and a fighting necklace. So I have a picture of myself here. In fifth grade, I'm on the right edge there, 2010, that was a long time ago, got the pink Hollister shirt on, and you can see I got the fighting necklace on, that was main event, my birthday party. Oh, there were four of us, there were more guys there, but just four of us in the picture, I promise there were more friends there. My sixth grade year, okay, so we move on, and I was getting ready to start middle school at this point, and so there was something that, again, a lot of my friends were doing, my best friend specifically, was like, hey, we should join the band. And I was like, okay, let's do it. So I joined the band. I got a picture. That's a tough one, guys. I'm being honest here. 2010, just a few months later, it's me with a trumpet. I don't look that excited. And I'll tell you why. It's because I was really, really bad at playing the trumpet. But I thought, you know what? My friends are in the band. Let's do it. We're going to go all in. And I was horrible. So my seventh grade year after the band, I was like, okay, all my friends now are playing sports. We can start playing football. So my next year, football team, far side, blue jersey with those blue cleats, blue Nikes on. I let me tell you, if I was bad at band, I was really bad at football. But again, all my friends were playing, so I joined the football team. And I got pummeled for a few years. I played, but then we have a bonus, actually, picture. So I quit band my seventh grade year, and I moved on. A lot of my friends at this time, they were like, hey, band wasn't it. Let's go and do choir. So I joined the choir my seventh grade year. That's me on a knee in the front there. Still got the fighting necklace on. I'm in a blue American Eagle V-neck. Guys, it was tough. It was tough times back then, but I did choir, and so seventh grade was choir, and that also, I'll be honest, didn't work out that great for me. But eighth grade came around, and all my friends at this point were starting to get one specific haircut, because this singer at the time, he was on the rise, and this young singer from Canada, everybody was like, who's this guy? Let's get a haircut like him. So I had the Bieber haircut. That's right, guys. It was tough. I'm being fully known at Wake this morning, okay? So that's me in eighth grade. And let me tell you, I had this full thing where I'd kind of walk and then I'd do this like head flip. You kind of like flip your hair and your neck. I know a lot of the leaders there. Guys, they had the Bieber cut, all right? Josh Seitz, I'm looking at you. There was a Bieber cut. Anyways, all right. That's enough. That was my middle school experience, right? And so through all of those things that I talked about, there was one thing specifically in common with all of them. And I don't know if you caught it as I was sharing them, but did anyone here, is there one thing that stood out to you from every single one of those?
You did what your friends were doing.
My friends were doing it. I did what my friends were doing. That's a great call out there. So for all of those things that I did in middle school, a big reason why I either took part in them or looked a certain way or dressed a certain way is because it is what my friends were doing. And I think for a lot of us in this room, probably in 10 years, you guys will look back and go, man, I dressed that way, I talked that way, I looked that way because it was a lot. It was what my friends were doing or how they were looking. And I think for a lot of us, we can see those things on the outside, right? It's easy to see, hey, I'm a part of this, I do this, I look this way, I talk this way because my friends do those things, but it's hard to see the ways that our friends influence our hearts. Because on the outside, you would have saw my middle school experience, right? And you would have been like, hey, Jonathan, you were really involved and plugged in, and it looked like, you know, you had friends and did all these things, band, choir, sports, whatever, you name it. But I would tell you that my middle school experience was one that was marked by not joy, but it was marked by comparison, and it was marked by sadness and loneliness.
because I wanted to find joy in the things that I did or the people that I was around or what they thought of me. And so it's easy for us to be surrounded by a lot of people and we think we have it all together and we think that we're doing all the right things, but to be really empty on the inside. And I think our friends play a really big part in that, in our lives. And so this morning, my one main point of this message is this, that your friends will determine the quality and direction of your life. Your friends will determine the quality and the direction of your life. And as we start this series titled We Over Me, we're going to look at what does it practically mean for our friends to help us determine the quality and direction of our life. We're going to get really practical in these next few weeks about what does it look like to hold others accountable, to be authentic in our relationships, to be willing to encourage or use our tongue in a positive way in our friendships. But this morning, I want to start by starting this entire series off to go, before we get practical about all those things, I think it's really important that we think about who we surround ourselves with, because it is true that your friends will determine the quality and the direction of your life. And there's one verse, there's a few that we're going to look at, but there's one that I would love for you to take away from this morning. If you hear no others, I hope you hear Proverbs 12, 26. It says, "The righteous choose their friends wisely, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Right? And so those who are wise and righteous, they choose them carefully because God has designed us to be in community with others. He's designed us to be in relationship. But that can either be a really, really positive thing for our walk with the Lord, or that can be a really negative thing for our walk with the Lord. Right? And so I want to quickly look at a model of friendship from the Bible. We're going to look at the friendship of Jonathan and David from the Bible. So if you have a Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 19, and we're going to look at the friendship of Jonathan and David. And we've talked a little bit from stage here about the kings of Israel and the story of Israel in the Old Testament, but just for a quick refresher, right? So we've got Saul is the first king of Israel. He looked the part. He was tall. Everybody was like, we want a king, so Saul's the king. But Saul goes in, and he really just messes it up because he's really insecure. He doesn't know how to lead, and he really kind of desires and craves control. And so Saul is the king at the time, but it just goes really, really poorly. So God says, you know what, Saul? I'm going to take the throne away from you. You will no longer be king, and I'm going to give it to this shepherd boy, this nobody, this person that no one would have ever sought or expected or thought of, named David. And so 1 Samuel 19 is kind of in the middle of that story, of this tension between Saul is still the king, but he knows that David has been promised the throne, and that makes Saul even more insecure and angry and frustrated. And so Saul plots at this point to kill David. He's like, you know what? I want to keep the throne in my family. I want to keep the throne under my control. I want all this power. And the next person in line from Saul is Jonathan. Right, his first son, so that the throne would go, if Saul were to ever die, it would go to Jonathan. And so Saul plots to kill David. And so we pick up in 1 Samuel chapter 19. We're going to read four verses and look at a few things about Saul, about David and Jonathan's friendship. So it says this, "Saul told his son Jonathan and all the attendants to kill David. But Jonathan had taken a great liking to David, and he warned him, 'My father Saul is looking for a chance to kill you. Be on your guard tomorrow morning. Go into hiding and stay there. I will go out and stand with my father in the field where you are, and I will speak to him, and I will tell you what I find out.' Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, 'Let not the king do wrong to his servant David. He has not wronged you, and what he has done has benefited you greatly.'" And so Jonathan warns David that his dad is trying to kill him. And he goes out and he is even willing to speak up to his father and say, "Hey, I don't think you should kill David." So the first thing we see from this passage and Jonathan and David's friendship is that godly friends are loyal regardless of the cost. Godly friends are loyal regardless of the cost. You see in that verse, it says, "But Jonathan had taken a great liking to David and he warned him, 'My father Saul is trying to kill you.'" See, Jonathan cared more about David than he did his comfort, power, or control. Because if you remember, as I described the story, the throne was in the hands of Jonathan, right? If Saul passes on, all of it goes to David. Or all of it goes to Jonathan, excuse me. And so Jonathan could have been in this place where he's like, you know what? I do want the throne. I do want the power. I do want the money. I do want the control. And so I'm going to let my father kill Jonathan so that I make sure that I get it all. But instead, he goes, no, I'm willing to stand up for what's right. I'm willing to be loyal to my friend David and save and try to save his life. And I also want to be really clear here. I want to be clear that loyalty doesn't mean standing up for what is wrong. Because I think for a lot of us, we can get in this place of going, man, I want to be loyal to my friends. And so my friend says, hey, please don't tell my parents that I did this or that I said this or that I got in trouble here. Or, hey, man, please keep this secret from this person because I don't want them to know or hear about it. Guys, loyalty is not loyalty when it involves sin or negativity or this place of, man, trying to hurt someone else or keep something from someone. Right? Loyalty in this situation, Jonathan saw, man, my dad is in the wrong. He's seeking to kill someone, my good friend Jonathan. And so I'm going to be willing to be loyal to David regardless of the cost because I know that it is right. And so the question I'd ask you guys for you to think about this morning is, would your friends be loyal to you if it cost them popularity? If they had to make a sacrifice for you? Right? If there was a cost involved in your friendship, would your friends still be standing there when the dust settled if it cost them something? The next thing we see from this story is that godly friends speak up even when it is hard. Godly friends speak up even when it is hard. And we see that when Jonathan speaks well of David to Saul, his father, and he says to him, let not the king do wrong to his servant David. And so yes, Saul was Jonathan's father, but Saul was also the king. And so what the king said typically goes, right? He is in control. He had the power to kill his own son if he wanted to. But Jonathan is willing to speak up for what is right, even when it is hard, even when his father completely disagrees with him and wants to kill David. And again, I'd ask you the question, would that be true of your friend groups? Right? Would your friends speak up for you or others in a hard situation? If someone was being made fun of, if a group of guys were saying things that are inappropriate, or a group of girls are gossiping, would your friends be the ones who are willing to speak up in those moments and stand up for what's right? And the last thing I'd point out to you from this story is that we see that without Jonathan, David's path of his life would have ended in death, right? Saul would have gone on to kill David because Jonathan wouldn't have warned him, and his path would have ended in death. And so I would tell you that godly friends point you towards a path of life. Godly friends point you towards a path of life. Proverbs 22:5 says, in the paths of the wicked are snares and pitfalls, but those who would preserve their life stay far from them. Because it is your decision ultimately, who you surround yourself with, who you allow to have influence in your life. But it says, man, in the paths of the wicked are snares and pitfalls. And if you have godly friends, then they are able to point you back to the path of life. And in this situation, truly, David's friendship with Jonathan saved his life because Jonathan was willing to be loyal and stand up and speak out in a really hard time. Bad friends will teach you a lot, but they will also cost you a lot. And I would tell you that that's true for my story. Right? All of those pictures and slides that I put up there of my middle school experience, again, you would have thought, man, that guy had it all together. He had a lot, even with the bad haircut. Right? But I would tell you that my friends were just as insecure as I was, and they were pointing me to all of the things in the world to find life and to find my satisfaction in. Guys, it is a continual theme of Scripture, and I wish I would have paid attention when I was sitting in your seats or when I was in middle school. I wish I would have paid attention to what the Bible says about friendship. Proverbs 13:20 says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. The companion of fools will suffer harm. And so I would just challenge you guys to think about that. You may not see it or fully understand it at this point, but if you continue on in with friendships or friend groups that are really negative or hurtful or pointing you to all the things of this world, then it is true that man, a companion of fools will suffer harm. And so my main point for this message, the one thing that I hope that you walk away with, does anybody remember it from the very beginning? Okay, well then let's remind you real quick. Your friends will determine the quality and direction of your life. Let's all say that together. Your friends will determine the quality and direction of your life. Thank you, guys. I believe that that is true. And that over a long period of time, your friends will influence you in more ways than you can see today. They will influence the way that you dress, look, talk, but they will influence your heart in very deep, deep ways. And I also think it's really easy for us to hear this message and to go, okay, man, my friends are the problem. You know, my friends aren't good friends, and so all my behavior issues or the ways that I get in trouble or the things that I don't do well, it's my friends' problem. But I would also flip those questions back, and I would challenge you to think about, are those things true of your life and of your heart, right? Are you a friend that is loyal for the right reasons, regardless of the cost? Are you the type of person who's willing to speak up even when it is hard? Are you the friend that points others towards the path of life when you see them straying away from it? Because we have to take ownership and responsibility for our own walk with the Lord in our own hearts as well in our friendships. So I would ask you to evaluate, are those things true of your friend groups? And also, are they true of your own heart as well? And so the question that I would leave you with, if there's one thing for you to go and think about when you leave Wake this morning, is are the friendships or friend groups, are there friendships or friend groups that are negatively influencing your walk with the Lord? Think about that. Are there friendships or friend groups that are negatively influencing your walk with the Lord? And the answer, it may be no. But I would challenge you to take a genuine inventory of your friendships, who you hang out with, the ways that they affect your heart and your life, because Proverbs 12:26 is true. The righteous choose their friends carefully. The righteous choose their friends carefully. And I would last thing I would tell you is that there's a healthy and helpful way to do this, and there's an unhelpful way to do this as you evaluate your friendships. And so what I don't mean is that you would just go and ignore someone completely or cut them out completely from your life, or that you would go, man, that's not a good person. I'm going to completely stop hanging with them. But it might challenge you to think about, man, should I have a conversation with some of my friends? It might challenge you to go, do I need to go to someone and say, hey, I think we could do a better job of how we encourage one another, how we use our tongue, the way that we, joke around one another, the things that we talk about. I think it could challenge you in a lot of ways, or you could go to your friends and challenge them before you just completely cut others out from your life, because that's not the message today. We still want to love those who are far from God and point them towards a path of life, but those people that you allow in your closest circles to influence your heart, the way you look, talk, the way that you interact, the way that they rub off on you, those are the friendships that I'm challenging you to think deeply about this morning. So I would ask you that question. Are there friendships or friend groups that are negatively influencing your walk with the Lord? Because it is true that your friends will determine the quality and the direction of your life. And so think about that today. And so there's three things that kind of we talked about this morning, and a little bit of a new structure to the messages that we want to bring. And so from all the messages, we want to have a read, a reflect, and a receive. A read is just a verse or a passage that we talked about. And so this morning, if you want to write down a verse for you to go and read and think about this week, it would be Proverbs 12:26, which just says, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. A reflect, right? This is our one main point, our bottom line, or our question, excuse me, a reflection question for you. Are there friendships or friend groups that are negatively influencing your walk with the Lord? And our bottom line, Say it with me. Your friends will determine the quality and direction of your life. Perfect. That is our read, our reflect, and our receive for this morning at Wake. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity that you've given us to think about those in our lives who influence us greatly. That we can think about the parts and ways that we can own walking with you closer and looking more like you by those who we surround ourselves with, and also the ways that we follow you. Lord, I pray that if anyone in this room does not know you, that they'd be willing to ask hard questions, that they'd be willing to wrestle with what they believe, because you love them deeply. Every single person in this room, regardless of what they have done or what they will do, you love them deeply, and you sent your son to die for them. And so, Lord, I pray for the students in this room, their relationship with you and their relationship with others that will influence the quality and the direction of their life. Pray all these things in your name. Amen.